Cole and Lamar Phelan are dear friends of mine, and it's been amazing to watch them, like, actually sell their stuff and are giving it away. They've given us some books and some wonderful treasures as well. In contrast to that, have you ever been the victim of somebody else's stinginess? Maybe. I wonder if you can relate to this example of stinginess.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. This is kind of embarrassing, but there's no toilet paper over here. Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
I just forgot to check, so if you could spare some.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry, I can't spare it.
You can't spare it?
No, there's not enough to spare.
Well, I don't need much, just 3 squares will do it.
I'm sorry, I only have 3 squares now, if you don't mind.
3 squares? You can't spare 3 squares?
No, I only have a square to spare, I can't spare a square.
Well, is it too fun?
Because if it's too ply, I'll take one ply.
One ply.
One puny little ply. I'll take one measly ply. Look, I don't have a square, and I only have a ply. I don't
Whew. That is a tough situation, and wouldn't want to be the victim of that stinginess. In my own life, I have a different kind of square that's difficult for me to spare. It's this one. Now, I'm the mother of 3 little kids, and so I know good and well all about giving other people the food off my plate and letting my food go cold while I get their second helpings or thirds or fourths. That's all very familiar to me. But if they come asking for my square of dark chocolate, I do not have a square to spare. In fact, in my family, we call these mommy's vitamins. No touch. Now, my kids daily show me this innate human nature to take and to hoard. I mean, not a day goes by, I think, that we don't hear in our household, "It's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. All this stuff is mine, and you can't touch any of it." But I think a lot of us have that nature in us to take, to hoard, to store up. And when I think about that, I see a deeper issue, a deeper root problem there. And I think it's that we don't really know God to be a generous God. We haven't understood and experienced that enough in our lives to let it affect our attitude. So we take and we hoard to protect ourselves. Maybe a little bit like this guy here. Napoleon and his tots. So, whatever it is, we have something, right, that we want to hoard. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Dollars and Cents. Last week, Pastor Kelly talked to us about our priorities. That we can't have two top priorities. Two can't be on the top. The Bible says we cannot serve both God and money. Doesn't work. Today we're talking about our attitude toward money. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. Verses 6 through 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let me pray for us. nearly done. They were basically there. There were just a couple people he mentions in the letter. A couple people still working on it, but for the most part, they were back into a restored relationship. And so he's reminding them, hey, before this conflict happened with us, remember this other thing I talked to you about? He had told them way back when that another of his church plants, the one in Jerusalem, had fallen on hard times. In fact, Jerusalem was going through a famine, so the brothers and sisters there were really struggling to provide for their families. So Paul had reached out to this church in Corinth and a lot of the other churches and invited them to take a collection and send generously of their finances to help support the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Well, back at the time, this group of believers in Corinth were all about it. Totally, we will do that. But it had kind of gotten lost in the mix as they were dealing with this conflict with Paul. So now that they've reconciled, he's reminding them, okay, remember you said you would do this, but they still really need your help. And so Paul is reminding them and us to give cheerfully, not out of obligation. Not because they said way back when that they would do it, so now they begrudgingly feel like they need to follow through. Not to please people, and for sure, not to earn God's favor. That is not how we receive God's favor. In fact, we can't do anything to earn it. It is a free gift, an example of God's generosity toward us. And so he's encouraging them that if we really are joyfully aware of this great generosity of God, we can't help but pay it forward to others. But we often don't give cheerfully or sacrificially. I think it's because we don't really understand God's generosity toward us. I have this terrible tendency to just play it safe when it comes to giving. Yeah, I'll give a little here, a little there. Whatever doesn't really hurt too much, doesn't really cost me anything. Here are a couple of examples. So my kids will come home with a flyer from school saying that there's going to be a food drive at the school. Okay, that's a great idea. But what happens? I get busy, I forget about it, I lose the flyer, and then it's like, okay, it's the last day to send the stuff in. Well, really, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to be that mom that didn't send something into the food drive, and I don't want it to reflect badly on my kids either. So I'm like scrambling. What do we got in the back of the shelf that nobody is eating? What's that thing nobody likes anymore? You know, putting that in the bag and sending that on to my kids to save face, right? Well, that didn't cost me anything. That didn't hurt. That was a sacrificial giving. And on top of that, I'm not really sure that it's very loving to give other people our sloppy seconds, you know, like our stuff in the back that we don't really want. Or how about this? Have you guys seen one of these things? This is a coin donation funnel. So you put the coin in the slot, it shoots out, and then it goes around and around and around and around and around, 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 drops in. It's kind of cool to watch. Our three-year-old son loves this thing. And there's a place that he and I frequent that has one of these things. So every time we go there, he wants coins to put into the funnel. Well, I have no problem pulling a handful of pennies out of my wallet and letting him go through, you know, 10 pennies maybe. But what if it only took quarters? Yeah, I don't know. I would have to think about that a little more to pull out a handful of quarters. Or what if you had to put a dollar into it to get it to work? Ooh. Okay, that kind of hurts a little bit. I'm not sure. But when I think about these examples in my life, it just spotlights for me my own struggle to really believe that God is so lavishly generous to me. How could I not spread that to others? The Bible is full of examples of God's generosity toward us. How about the fact that we are alive today? The fact that we're sitting here, that we're breathing, right? Acts 17:28, in him, they adopted their fourth child. And I think most of us think of adoption in today's culture as a loving family who wants to rescue a child, perhaps even a baby, out of some unfortunate circumstances. Well, in ancient Rome, that is not the picture of adoption that they had. In fact, in ancient Rome, the most common example of adoption was when a wealthy businessman was looking for an heir for his business. So typically, he would adopt an adult male. It was often a slave, an adult male slave. Maybe this guy didn't have his own son to take over the family business, or maybe his son was a doofus. I don't know. Whatever his reasons were, he needed an alternative, right, to be the heir of his family business. And so the ceremony involved canceling all of the slave debts, setting him totally free, and then making him the direct beneficiary of the inheritance and gifts of the father. What an amazing parallel of Christ's generosity toward us. That's it. That's what he's done for us. God is so abundantly generous that he has given us all these things and more. Okay, here's another embarrassing confession of mine. So my kids are picky eaters. I know none of you have ever dealt with that. I'm the only one who has kids like that, right? And our daughters, there's only this one kind of snack bar that they like. Out of the millions of choices out there, there's just this one. And of course, the one they pick, the only one they'll eat, is super expensive and can only be found at a specialty food store. Thanks a lot, girls. Awesome. So so that's not the confession. That should be their confession. My confession is that I really like having my pantry shelves full. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for stocking up on a good sale, or just stocking up so I don't have to go to the grocery store quite as often, right? But recently, this kind of a new perspective came to me. A relative of mine offered to take me to this specialty food store, and she said, I just would like to buy whatever your family would like from this store. Wow, so generous. So as we were heading out the door to go, of course I was profusely thanking her for her generosity, and we passed by the shelf that normally has the snack bars, and it was almost empty, and I just sort of jokingly said to her, oh, I'm so glad you're taking me because I'm having snack bar insecurity right now. And, it was funny, but as soon as I heard those words come out of my mouth, I realized, there's something deeper going on here. I'm finding a sense of security in these full pantry shelves. And again, it's not wrong to have them full. And Kelly talked last week about how money isn't inherently evil. It's when we put our priority in money. So when I'm finding my security in something other than Jesus Christ, that's when it becomes a problem. So I just realized that I was having a scarcity mindset. I was not seeing God as the abundant, generous provider. I was feeling like I have to have full shelves. I have to store up to protect myself. But let's look back at 2 Corinthians 9 again. Verse 8, it says right there, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And now skip down to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge financially, monetarily, that may be spiritual. He gives so that I can give out to others. And I just think the cycle that's painted in this passage is beautiful, because it says that God will give me everything I need to give out to others, which when I've given it all out, then that makes me dependent on God. And as I'm depending on him, he will then give me more so that I can give out more, so that I'm dependent on God who will give me more so that I can give out more. Get it? Isn't that amazing? And yet, many of us, myself included, miss the joy. We miss the joy of giving generously because we're just storing for ourselves. And we miss the beauty of having a deeper connection with God because we are that dependent on him. Our attitude toward money is an attitude of believing God's generosity. And Christ demonstrated this for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is also written by Paul, he says this: since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Our former self is full of selfishness, but now that we're in Christ, we have the opportunity to put on a new attitude, a new self that's modeled after Christ Jesus. And Paul describes that even further in Philippians. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, which is what? Here it is. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Although Jesus is God, he didn't use that status for his own advantage or gain, but he took on a posture of humble service and extreme generosity to all humankind. He generously gave up his life. But let's not forget, that's not the point of Good Friday, right? The point is not that he physically died. The point is that he took on the total wrath of God, complete rejection from Father God. Why? So that we can be totally accepted. That is generosity, that we have not had to experience the wrath and the rejection we deserve, but rather acceptance. Jesus lavishing generously grace upon grace upon grace over our selfish selves. And the more we get that, the less we will hoard and store and needlessly try to protect ourselves. And the more we will be compelled to give and share generously. So, practically, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to have a biblical posture toward money in light of God's generosity? First of all, maybe about that area of spending that you tend to abuse. Third, give generously, give sacrificially, in a way that keeps you debt-free. I have a friend with a bleeding heart who regularly gives generously and then goes into debt for it. I don't think that's what God has in mind, but most of us are on the other end of that spectrum and need to be encouraged to give more generously, more sacrificially. For sure, I need that reminder. And we can take a lesson from this guy, Ebenezer Scrooge, who's, you know, maybe one of the most tight-fisted people in the beginning, but by the end of his ordeal, he gives generously and freely of his great wealth to all those around him. We can stand to lose in our tight grip like him. God consistently pours his generosity on us, much like the sponge. He's just pouring and pouring, and he's never stopping. Whether we're aware of it or not, he's just pouring and pouring generosity on us. So let's, like this sponge, soak it in so much that we can't help but leak it out onto other people, right? Let's let the Lord's generosity leak out on others around us. Now, I'd like to ask you to take a minute to reflect. It's no good for us to come here and listen to a message and then walk away and forget it. We need to take an action step. So I want to give you a moment to just personally reflect with the Lord. What is your personal application point this morning? Perhaps it's to sign up for the class here at church, the finance class. Perhaps it's to sit down with your spouse and talk about biblical financial priorities and try to get on the same page. Maybe it's to ask the Lord to open your eyes wider to see his generosity in your life. Maybe you need to cheerfully write that donation check. Maybe you need to go meet with Nicole and Lamar afterward and get in on what they're doing. Whatever it is, let's take 1 minute to reflect and then I'll pray. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He prepares a feast before me. My cup overflows. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we acknowledge that you are a shepherd who guides and provides. You're a party host who lavishes on us. Would you please open our eyes to see more of that in our lives? And we thank you, Lord, that even though we may not experience all of your abundance in the ways we want to in this life, on this side of eternity, that when we are with you face to face, we will experience